I doubt if there's a man living today who knows experientially any more than what I know in the depth of my heart and life of what it takes to be committed to the integrity and accuracy of God's Word. And what it means to just day after day after day, just stay put. I remember the times when I used to run a twig and only Mrs. Weirwill would come. She had to because she wanted to sleep with me at night, so she had to. And then after Rhoda Becker Weirwill became part of our staff, the years we did a considerable amount of radio work, she directed all the choir and wrote all the music and did a lot of other things, became my secretary finally, all these things. Used to have twig meetings with just two or three of us. Nobody else cared, nobody else came. And then it started to grow a little more and more, but God, those years, kids, you'll never know. And praise God, you don't have to. 15-20 years, we just went on and continued going and going and just standing. Even as late as 1961, Mrs. Weirwill and I had set in our hearts, if we ever had 50 people who really wanted to believe God's Word and move, that'd be all right with us, because we were going to give our lives as long as we live for what we believe to be the truth, the integrity, and the accuracy of God's Word. But we've seen people like you grow up in the Word, develop in the Word, and go forth holding forth the greatness of that Word. And tonight we have literally thousands upon thousands, not only throughout the United States, but the world, because people are moving out with the greatness of God's Word. This is not going to be easy for you this year. It's never going to be easy, kids. I've lived too long. If you want something easy, you join the crowd. You go with the herd. And you'll always go down the drain, but that's easy to go down. You know something? It takes a woman, a wonderful woman of God, to take a stand and say, damn it, I'm a woman of God, I'm born again, I stand. Takes a wonderful man, a man that has some steel in his soul and yet velvet in his heart, to take a stand and say, sure, I'm a man of God, I stand. You're not going out on the field because it's easy. You're going out on the field because it's a call of God to your life to hold forth the greatness of God's Word, to find out how great a woman you really are and how tremendous a man of God you really are. To just stand, that's what you're going to do. It's not going to be easy. There is never anything easy about the NCAA finals. And that's where we're playing. We're no longer down at the kindergarten stage playing there or in first grade. We're right at the level of playing right at the top with the greatness of God's Word. And I want to tell you, if you finished the Power for Abundant Living class 2 weeks ago, and you really believe what you learned and walk on it, you've got more light than 99% of the people you're going to meet out there. You got to hold forth that light. And you just got to commit yourself. That's right. Tonight's an easy night for you because you're in the excitement of the moment, the greatness of the Word you've been taught. You're up on cloud 999. I want to see you 3 months from now where you're going to be. 3 months from now will tell me whether you really were on that cloud 99 because of commitment, dedication, that you had deep within your soul, come hell or high water, here I stand. Remember Martin Luther once said, God help me, here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. You've got to get to that place in your life that you're so absolutely convinced that God called you, ladies and gentlemen, that nothing is going to sway you. The only way they could ever get you out of your commitment, the only way they could ever get you out of your family, would have to be to kill you and take you out feet first. And you can't die on the field. Right. It's going to be rough out on that field sometimes, but every contest is. When you're playing in the NCAA finals, you've got a team that's almost as good as you are. The adversary's been at this a long time. He's almost as good as you are, but not as good as you are. So you've got to go out there and you've got to prove it. And that brings me to why I'm going to do this next song, or have it done for you, to bless you. The words in it, everything in it, stands for truth, and it's something that I love and that I've stood for many years. And that is, people, I just believe God's word is God's will that settles it for me. And that's what I hold on to. And when everything looks bleak, when everything from the sense knowledge point of view looks like you can't do it, I just have kept holding on. And if you'll do that out there on that field, you'll come back a year from now 10 feet tall, people. Right down.
He protects me from my enemy, and he keeps me from all. Should a problem rise in my life, oh Lord, I'm sheltered in his arms. The love that he shows me is so very much more than any love I've ever known, that I've ever known before. That's why I'll keep holding, keep holding on. He's coming back to get me one day. Hey, I'll be gone. Until then, I'm patiently waiting. Yes, Lord. I'll keep holding, keep holding on. You know what picks me up when I stumble, and he puts me right back on my feet. Says, come on now, get your head back in the Word, Ted. 'Cause I need people like you out on the street. You know, makes intercession talks to God about things concerning me. Making that pure intercession. When I'm not the man that I should be. Until then, I'm patiently waiting. Well, I'll keep holding. Keep holding on. And I want to tell you one more time now. Well, and that's why. And that's why I'll keep holding. Keep holding on. Oh Lord, I'll keep holding on. Holding on. To His sweet tender, tender loving hands. He's coming back to get us. Until then, patiently waiting. Well, I'll keep holding. Keep holding on. Yes, I'll keep holding. I'll keep holding. It makes no difference to me what the adversary can do, because he can do nothing to me. Because I have committed my life to that word and moving that word around the world. And this year is going to be the greatest year of my life, because I know that I can keep right on holding. Oh,
we're born to live, we're born again to do what?
Serve!
And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, serving the fellowship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 30 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, the Word of God says, but of Him, of God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. And the word wisdom means right application of knowledge. Made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and what? Redemption. Verse 31. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, or he who glorieth, he who boasts, let him boast, let him glory in whom? The Lord. All of the greatness of this Word of God, people, that Jesus Christ was made unto us. How was He made this unto us? And there are seven great truths. There may be others, but I know there are seven in God's Word indicating to all of us how he was made this unto us. The 7 R, number one, he is our substitute. Number two, he is our Savior. Number three, he is our mediator. Number four, he is our intercessor. Number five, he is our advocate. Number six, he is our Lord. And number seven, he is the all-time one and only high priest. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, being our substitute literally means he took our place. Whenever you substitute someone in any game, football, basketball, any of those games, that substitute takes the place of the player that's been in the game. Jesus Christ, people, is our substitute. He took our place. The word substitute literally means instead of or in place of. This word, in place of or instead of, the word for substitute is a preposition. It's a preposition in the Greek text. The word in the Greek is huper, H-U-P-E-R. It is usually translated for. Tonight I want to show you that substitute instead of from God's word and get you to see the word and to feel the immensity and the greatness of it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 21, for, and that word for is not the word hooper. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. The second for is the preposition hooper. Look at it very carefully. You understand this verse, you understand all the rest, because they're just the same. For God made him sin for us, instead of us, in our place, as our, what? Substitute. As our substitute. In 1 Corinthians 15, just go back a few pages. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 3. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received also. Here it is, last part of it. How that Christ died for, hooper, for, hooper, our sins. Instead of us, he died. In our stead, as our substitute, Jesus Christ died for, as our substitute, for our sins. In Galatians, chapter 1, verse 4. Galatians 1:4, you got it? Who gave himself, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 3, who gave himself for our sins. The word for is the word hooper, in our stead, as our substitute. In Galatians 2:20, the latter part of that verse, the life I now live, I live by the faith, by the believing of the Son of God, who loved me and who did what? Gave himself. F-O-R is the word hooper. As a substitute for me. Instead of me, he gave himself for me. What's your name? That's the one he gave himself for. It is real personal, people. I think I'll just give you the verses, the rest of the verses that I noted today. Then you can check these as you get out on the field, get back home in your areas. As you go, wow, and you rest of you people wherever you go, holding forth God's word. Please work this in your heart and life, because it's absolutely foundationally fantastic. Jesus Christ was our Passover. 1 Corinthians 5:7. And as you work this word, you will want to check Galatians 3:13. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2 and 25. 1 Thessalonians 5:10. 1 Timothy 2:6. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Philemon, having only one chapter, of course, it's verse 13. Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 9. Chapter 7, verse 25. Chapter 9, verse 24. Chapter 10, verse 12. 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 21. Chapter 3, verse 18. Chapter 4, verse 1. 1 John, the first epistle of John. Chapter 3, verse 16. And 3 John, the third epistle of John, verse 7. I have just given you every reference in the New Testament where the word hooper is utilized, and it means instead of or as our substitute. Look at the abundance of the Word of God that spells out the truth of the first great principle that I set for you on how Jesus Christ was made unto us. Wisdom, righteousness, redemption, sanctification, justification, all of that. How he was made this unto us, for he was our substitute. There's a difference between being your substitute and being the Savior. He couldn't be the Savior without having been the substitute. And that's why the second great truth is that he is our Savior. And how great a Savior is he? Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 25, wherefore he, Jesus Christ, is able also to save them, meaning anybody whosoever will may come, Because there's nobody out there that you will be meeting. No one who has sunk so low, but that underneath are the everlasting arms of God to lift him up. On the other hand, there's no one who has climbed so high upon the ladder, or slipped up the ladder, as I call it, that the loving arms of God aren't up there surrounding him. For he, verse 25, is able to save them to the what? Uttermost. No matter how far down the ladder or up the ladder they've slid. He is able to save how? To the uttermost. And the word save, class, is the word zoso, meaning save to the end of total salvation, mental, physical, spiritual, financial, social, every other category of life is this word zoso. A complete savior. Saved to the uttermost. Those who come unto God by him, by Jesus Christ. And now I'd like for you to remember the rest of that verse. The remainder of that verse, because it will come up later. Because so closely aligned with salvation is seeing he, Jesus Christ, ever liveth to make intercession for them. There's a tremendous difference between salvation and intercession, as you will see. But here it is in the verse, one verse. Able to save how far, people? And then he also makes intercession. Now you hold that intercession in your mind a little bit, will you? The third great truth is that he is our mediator. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Chapter 2. Verse 5. For there is one what? Amen. One God. And one mediator. Mediator. Between God and whom? Now, people, please read the word. Don't read into it. Just read what's written. For the word of God is the will of God. It means what it says, and it says what it means. Here again, in this one, no doubt about this being the revealed word and will of God. The one God, one God. And one mediator, not Buddha, not Muhammad, not the right reverend so-and-so or doctor so-and-so or VP Wherewell. One mediator, one, a mediator between whom? God and what?
Man.
That's right, the one mediator. One mediator between God and whom? And who is it? The who? The man, Christ Jesus. Can you read? You know what it says? Well, doggone it, that's what it means. That's right. That's why I don't care if the whole world says I'm wrong, I'll still stand because that's what the Word says. One how many? You said it, baby. One God, but what? One mediator. One mediator between God and whom?
Man.
Not God. But man, Jesus Christ. The man, Jesus Christ. Not the God, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was never God, never will be. And anybody who believes that, screwier than a tin rabbit on a bare roof in midwinter or something. But you can't believe beyond what you're taught. And if you're taught error, that's what you believe. If you believe soup was apple butter, you'd swear on a stack of Bibles soup was apple butter because of what you've been taught. You got to come back to the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. Let the Word speak. Not people speak in behalf of it, because there is no vocabulary any man has ever had that would compare with or equal the vocabulary of the Word and the accuracy of the Word. The Word is God speaking to us in this day and in this time. If you're going to serve the fellowship, you have to know Jesus Christ was a substitute. You have to know He was a complete Savior, able to save to the uttermost. And you have to know that He was a man, tempted in all things like as we are, yet without sin. And that He is the mediator between God and men. A mediator is one who stands in between. Once you're born again, you no longer need a mediator. You need a mediator before you're born again. And Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and men who are to be born again of God's Spirit. Boy, look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, a new testament, a new will. Jesus is the mediator of something new between God and what? Once you're born again of God's Spirit, Jesus Christ having been your substitute, your Savior, and your mediator, now you're born again of God's Spirit. Beloved, now are we what? It's the sons of God. Now, what do you need? You need an intercessor. And here in Hebrews chapter 7, and in verse 25 it says, seeing He ever liveth to make what? Intercession what? For them. See it? I read it to you a while ago. Intercession is for the born again believer who needs Jesus Christ to intercede for him. You don't pray to the Virgin Mary. Nothing virgin about her. You don't pray to your grandma or Uncle Herman. You have an intercessor, Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. In Romans chapter 8, Romans, and I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is a lot better than your grandma. A lot better than Virgin Mary. Romans 8, verse 27. Searches the heart, knoweth what's the mind of the Spirit, because, are you with me? Because He, Jesus Christ, makes what? Intercession for the what? That's right. And you're a saint when you're born again. When you're born again of God's Spirit, having Christ in you, the hope of glory, then you're a saint before God. Not after you're dead 500 years and somebody decides to canonize you. That's another bunch of hogwash, see? He makes intercession for the saints. That's you, people out there on the field. That's you. Make Jesus Christ making intercession. I think many of you know how much I love you. And that I would do everything within my power to bless you. If I knew more to do, I'd do it. I'm not God's only begotten Son. Jesus Christ is. God raised him from the dead. He's seated at God's right hand, people. And it is he that's making intercession for you while you're out there on the field. Boy. Look at verse 34. 34. Who is he that condemneth? Christ who died rather than is risen. Who is even at the right hand of what? Who also maketh intercession, or who maketh intercession also for what? Us. That's right. Makes intercession for us. In 1 John 1:9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he, Jesus Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. What a tremendous intercessor. All we do is come to God in the name of Jesus Christ. And he intercedes. He's our intercessor. Even if we've broken fellowship, the only way to get back into fellowship is to confess the broken fellowship. And Jesus Christ intercedes for us, people. And once again, when we do that, God casts our sin from us as far as the east as the west and as deep as the deepest sea, and he'll remember them no more. That's why, therefore, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. In the fifth place, he is our advocate. He is our defense attorney. That's the word advocate. He is our barrister, our attorney, our lawyer. He is our advocate. He is our defense attorney. You do not need to defend God's word. You only need to witness to it. Speak the word. The word is its own defense because God backs up his word. And whenever people cut across the word, they're fighting God, not you. And people, that's a losing ball game. Jesus Christ is our advocate, our defense attorney, in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Listen to this. My little children, verse 1. These things write we unto you, that ye sin not, that ye do not break fellowship. But if any man sin, if any man breaks a fellowship, we have an advocate. An advocate. We have an advocate. We have a defense attorney with the Father, Jesus Christ, who? The righteous one. In the sixth place, he is our Lord. You know what the word Lord means in its basic root truth? It means bread provider. Bread provider. It means protector. It means shield. He is our shield. He is our protector. He is our bread provider. Also, it means master. And the word master means he's the boss. He's the owner. He's the boss of the team. He's the owner of the team. Certainly you remember Romans 10:9. If thou wilt confess with thy mouth, what? Right. That means Jesus Christ as your Lord. As your bread provider, your protector, your shield, your master, your boss, your owner. For you've been bought with a price. He is your Lord. And so when we serve the fellowship, He is our Lord. And finally, number 7, He is the high priest in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Says in the latter part of verse 20, the last verse in the chapter, Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's after the order of Melchizedek, who had no recorded progeny that he could be a high priest, but he was. Jesus Christ had no recorded progeny to be a high priest, but God made him that. In chapter 7 of Hebrews, in verse 27, he doesn't need to daily as high priest offer up sacrifice, Jesus Christ, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this, he, Jesus Christ, did once and for all when he offered up what? Himself. In chapter 9, verse 11, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come. Jesus Christ, a high priest of the good things to come. In verse 25 of this same chapter, not yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, in the end of the age, hath he suffered. The word appeared is suffered. To put away sin by the sacrifice of what? Himself. There is an interesting record in Matthew chapter 20 regarding Jesus Christ as our substitute, our Savior, our mediator, our intercessor, our advocate, and our high priest. In Matthew chapter 20, it is the Greek word anti, A-N-T-I, that I'm very much interested in this verse. Matthew 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to what? Be ministered unto, but to what? And to give his life a ransom for many. The word for is the word anti. And the word anti is the strongest prepositional word that you can have. It is stronger even than Hooper, according to Bullinger and others. The Son of Man came not to minister unto, came not to be ministered unto, but to what? And to give his life a payment, a ransom. So completely, completely, completely complete for others. Now you're born again of God's Spirit. You have God in Christ in you. Jesus Christ is seated on the right hand of the Father. He hasn't come back yet, but He's in you. Every place you walk, every place you stand, every place you sleep, it will be Christ in you. When you meet in your twigs, when you meet in your fellowship, when you start traveling toward your destinations tomorrow night and Sunday morning. Remember, you have to give yourself in His place to others. You don't go out to be ministered unto, but you go to do what? Minister. And to give your life. To expend yourself in behalf of others. The word people fellowship, the word service, these words are very closely aligned in God's word class. The word fellowship is the Greek word koinoneo. The word service is the word diakonia. Now off of these words, koinoneo and diakonia, comes another word. It is called douleo. Or another form of it is doulos, meaning a branded bond slave for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2, Acts 2, the first century church, even in the 20th, same truth, Acts 2. Verse 42, talking about the early church and the ministry in the first century, applicable in 1980-81. And they, the believers, continued steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, steadfast. They had their feet in spiritual cement. They were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. The word doctrine means right teaching, right believing. And what? Fellowship. Fellowship. In fellowship. That family of yours, that household, is the sweetest fellowship this side of heaven. If you continue in the rightly divided word, and in breaking of bread, means physically together, and in prayers, verse 43, and awe, A-W-E, not fear, negative. The English word is A-W-E. And great awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles because they believed. And they continued steadfastly together in fellowship, in breaking of bread, praying together. That's when it happened, the wonders and the signs. And then verse 44. And all that believed were together, All of them that believed were together. One wasn't running this way and pronouncing one thing and somebody else another way. They were together. They were knit together. They were like a household. Tight. And they had all things common. They shared whatever they had with their life, their souls, and everything in them. How I wish I could go with each one of you. How I wish I could be a part of that little foursome twig. And yet, maybe deep within my heart, I am, even far beyond what I realize or you realize. Because you're never going out there and be out there one day without me lifting you and standing with you in prayer and believing. Every time I commission WOWs, my heart goes with them when you go. And boy, when you come home, it's the happiest day of my life when you come back for the WOW Festival. We have that big parade at the Rock of Ages. That's all my kids coming home. And oh, I go... I go sky high. I'm like a little kid with a new toy or something. I just get electrified. Because you go out there and you represent God, people. You represent His wonderful Son. You represent the integrity and accuracy of this Word. You have the ministry of deliverance. You have the Word. You have your ambassadors, people. Your ambassadors. So, throw your shoulders back, your head up, breathe in and say, boy, I'm an ambassador for God. I walk with God and I hold forth the greatness of God in the fellowship and with the love of Christ Jesus. And don't ever forget, God has no hands but our hands, people. God has no hands but our hands. With which to give people the bread of life. That's right. He has no hands but our hands. He has no feet but our feet. With which to move among the almost dead. We say that we're His. We say that He is ours. Ladies and gentlemen, deeds are the proof of that, not words. And 1980 is the proving ours in 81. Right. God bless. Love you.